This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Which quarterback would actually move the needle for the New York Football Giants? We'll get to it in a couple of minutes. Your call's 888-808-1019. But it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. I'm back to save the segment. So here we go.
Have you heard any Cincos while you were gone?
I did not hear any, but I was told yesterday's was...
Oh, shut up!
Yesterday's was what?
By people around here was, quote, a mail-in job by Tommy Lugauer.
What was your Cinco yesterday,
apparently,
Tommy?
It was something very fictional that people didn't love.
It was fit. What was your Cinco yesterday?
It was the five most off-the-wall predictions that could happen before opening day.
Yeah, that sounds very something like you would do.
I didn't hear it. All I'm telling you is what was reported.
Okay, don't give me that. Don't
put your name on it.
Don't give me that shtick of, I didn't hear it, but people are telling me.
People are telling me. People are telling me.
Who are the people telling you?
I don't reveal sources. You haven't taken a journalism class in your life?
Name and name.
I'm not naming it.
This isn't journalism. This is you saying who at WFAN or one of your friends, maybe that's what it is, berated or I'd say put down.
I cannot tell you this on air because it will mentally rock Lugie before a vacation.
Is it Wisconsin? Is it someone who works here?
A couple people work here. And a couple people that may control the future of Tommy Lugauer. So I cannot do that to
him. He's about to go on vacation.
I know. That's why I don't want to give him names.
Why are you messing with him?
That's why I don't want to give him names. It'll mess with him. Meanwhile, I want him to have a nice time off.
If this makes you feel any better, Tommy, I don't believe him.
I don't either.
Okay, good.
Good. Keep it that way.
Your Cinco better be awesome right now.
All right. We started the show with Aaron Rodgers waiting forever to make a decision, so I had a lot of time to think about this. Would Aaron Rodgers potentially working out with the Giants be the most successful player to play for both teams but only be good for one and not great for the other? So that's a little convoluted,
yeah.
Okay? But I'm going to give you the five guys that come to mind that played for both teams, but they weren't good in one spot and they were good in the other.
Go
All
ahead.
Right?
Okay.
You get it?
I don't even know if I can name five, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Let's have some fun.
Here we go!
Number five.
How about two-time Super Bowl champion Leonard Marshall? Boy, was he a great Giant. He did spend 1 year for the Jets in 1993, started seven games, and did nothing.
That's a good one.
All right, here
There's
we go.
At the end, though.
Number four.
Still counts. Still happened.
True.
Plaxico Burress. Yeah. Super Bowl champion, elite number one wide receiver with the Giants. 1 year with the Jets, 612 yards.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of Plaxico Burress as a Jet, I think of disappointment.
I think of the coin toss when Rex Ryan sent only him out to do the coin toss versus the Giants setting up the Victor Cruz game.
Yeah.
That was fun. Here we go.
That worked out well.
Number three.
I'll give you a pro Jet one here. How about Brandon Marshall? Very good Jet receiver. Signed with the Giants.
I forget.
To pair with Odell. He lasted just five games.
I was going to say.
I forget that.
Yeah. Would you say Brandon Marshall? Like, he played for the Giants?
Yeah. Jeez. I was at the game. He got hurt versus the Bucs in Tampa. Terrible. You were calling that game. Here we go.
Number two.
How about this one? Don Maynard.
Don Maynard's number one.
Mm.
I'm actually surprised you got him, so I do want to give you credit.
All right.
But that's number one.
He probably is number one.
He's a Hall of Famer. He played 5 minutes for the Giants as a kid and then put together this brilliant Jet career. That's the answer.
Okay. Yes. However, However, it's so long ago that I kept it at number two. All right.
That's all right. Not a good answer.
All right, what's number one?
Number one.
Number one.
It's so long.
I'm giving a guy some love here.
Go ahead.
Number one is Steve Weatherford. As a punter with the Jets, he calls his own fake. Was a disaster. Is the guy to replace Matt Dodge with the Giants, has a great year, and in a play that saves a Giants season in a Super Bowl, gets a wobbly snap down holding his wedding ring to get Lawrence Tynes to kick that through in the NFC Championship game, Steve Weatherford.
Sean. What do you mean holding his wedding ring?
That was how. So in that game-winning kick versus San Francisco, the weather's bad, wet turf. He's wearing his wedding ring and the holding finger, and it gives just enough traction, and he's talked about this since, that it helps secure the wobbling ball. And he got it down, and Tynes put it through. People forget that.
Bro. The idea that you could come in here.
I gave you Don Mayer's number
and
two.
And you would insult Tommy's list with fake sources.
I didn't say fake sources.
You embarrass yourself by putting a punter ahead of a Hall of Fame wide receiver because, quote, it happened a long time ago.
So, I mean, who remembers Don Mayer's rookie year? I mean,
He's a legend. What do you mean? Who remembers Don Mayer?
Who remembers him with the Giants? All right, I got him
on the
list.
That's the point.
I got him on a list. He made the list. Number two. Cute. He's a cute story.
I'll tell you something else about Steve Weatherford. He had to be scratched from a playoff game with the New York Jets.
I don't remember this.
And I think it was... Steve actually bitched about this to me off air because Mike went to town on him. Like, what are you doing? You're missing a play... Yes. Yeah. Missing a playoff game. It forced Jay Feely, another guy who played for both teams, to punt that day. And Jay did a great job, and Steve was luckily okay, and Mike went to town on him. And Weatherford was like, hey, it was a medical issue. I think it was like, I don't want to actually speak out of turn on what it was, but he was not thrilled that Mike went to town on him.
Does Steve know whether St. John's won the Big East before the final or not, though? Just curious.
Oh, is that, you're making a reference to that video?
Yes.
You got to explain it to the audience now because people aren't going to understand.
Oh, okay.
Right? So go ahead.
I was under the impression you guys had talked about this.
No, we didn't talk about this.
Mom, I'm sorry. I misread the room. Mike Francesa yelled at his producers mildly over them being in his ear saying St. John's had already won the Big East.
Yeah.
Which in a very funny video.
I didn't find the video entertaining only because...
When did that video happen?
I have no idea.
Friday,
what day.
I think it came out.
So he was talking about the tournament or the league?
He was talking about both, I think.
Yeah, so they had won the regular season, right?
Yes.
So we don't know what was said in his ear, but what made it funny was Mike going on. It was 2.5 minutes on something he could have took 15 seconds.
I love Mike, and I will at times on YouTube watch old Mike Francesa clips. I found the video to be completely boring. Like
Aaron Rodgers.
He wasn't that mad at the producers. Like I felt like I wasted my time.
But, no,
honestly.
But when he
and that's no knock on anybody because again, I love a lot of his crazy material. I didn't find it interesting at all.
There's something authentically Mike when he thinks a tape is stopped there and he finds out that the whole rant was on the air.
I know, but even when he found out, it was just like, oh,
when
yeah,
he looks
okay,
at
this
the
will go viral. Okay,
it's the look at the camera and the sigh. It's very it's subtle.
By the way, I think you're in the majority because a lot of people found it entertaining. It didn't do anything for me.
He was going to say minority. Then he said, no, majority.
Yeah.
No, because you guys were in the majority. No, I admit that.
It's majority.
Yeah, majority. That's what I just
you
said.
You can say majority. All right. Congrats to Steve Weatherford. I'll see you
then. You're boring me to tears with this. I'm sorry. I can't go on.
I agree. I mean, I find Mike wildly entertaining. I didn't find that interesting. So think about this for one second. We are in the entertainment business. That's what sports is.
Yes.
And I think a part of why the Mets signed Juan Soto was not just his brilliance, not just because he's a great baseball player, but because they knew fannies will be in the seats. And the Mets are off to a great start in terms of selling tickets. People are going to go to the ballpark to see Juan Soto. When the Jets acquired Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago, there was a spike in season ticket sales.
Yep.
It just happened.
Just because of the... expectation rising, like extreme rising.
I think that was a part of it, but I think the other part of it was Aaron Rodgers' box office.
Yeah, but I don't think so much. I think it was more about winning as opposed to I have to see Aaron Rodgers.
I think it was both, to be honest with you. I definitely think that winning is the driving force, much like it is for the Mets. Do not get me wrong on that. I think there was also the box office factor of a star. We certainly saw that with the Nets when they added Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It certainly didn't lead to any winning, but more people showed up in the ballpark. Are any of these quarterbacks, whether it's Aaron Rodgers himself, who the Giants are still pursuing, whether it's Russell Wilson, I doubt it's Jameis Winston or anybody else.
Are
any of these quarterbacks, if the Giants acquire, I'm not even talking about the draft picks, we'll get to that later.
All right.
Are any of these veteran quarterbacks selling tickets?
Yeah, the draft picks are crapshoot, so you have no idea. Maybe you'll be excited if the hype around training camp and he's awesome is exciting, but I doubt it. The only one, honestly, that would sell tickets, and it might not be immediate, would be Jameis Winston.
Really?
Because he's so exciting as a player, and that's good and bad. And hopefully it'd be more good if you signed him. But I mean, he legitimately can throw for 400 yards a game, and he wants to. Right? He's not scared to make the throw. He is classic gunslinger. And for an offense that we talked about a lot last year that was designed and needed to be more aggressive with shots downfield, Jameis Winston will absolutely do that. And so it's almost what Dabbs wants. It's why you go get Malik Nabers. It's why you're trying to add more speed into this offense. And so if Jameis Winston can fulfill that in any way, it will be exciting. Now, I don't think if it happened tomorrow, Giant season ticket sales are going to explode.
Right.
But I do think, let's call it the box office on game day, would be very entertaining after a couple of weeks.
They would be a much more entertaining team if Jameis Winston was on it. Mm-hmm. I agree. And that doesn't even include the fact that he's actually wildly entertaining. Like, he's not a cliche machine. He says what's on his mind, and he's very, very funny. I think it was last week, or maybe it was earlier this week. I lose track of days. We counted down some of the funniest Jameis Winston moments.
That was this week.
Genuinely a funny guy. That was what day? What day was that?
This week, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday?
Right?
Tommy's saying it was Monday.
No, it was Monday. It's definitely Monday. And then we did Russell last week.
Yeah, because he's cringy. I don't think Russell Wilson sells any tickets. And this is a guy who's quarterback two teams to Super Bowls.
Agreed.
I don't think at first Jameis Winston sells any tickets. I think you may be right. Like, yes, if it's an exciting brand of football, they're scoring a lot. Sure.
Right.
I do think, even though the number is minimal, Aaron Rodgers sells tickets. I don't think there's any doubt. Mm. And I think
for the Jets. I mean,
With the Jets.
Just look at the Jets. That'll tell you the story.
And so I do think and it shouldn't necessarily be the biggest factor. Like, I want Joe Shane making the decision, not ownership. It's exactly what I said about the Jets with I want Darren Mougie and Aaron Glenn making the decision, not Woody Johnson. But I do think, as much as people are sick of Aaron Rodgers, they don't like Aaron Rodgers, or this about Aaron Rodgers, or that about Aaron Rodgers, I do think that he moves the needle more than any other quarterback in terms of selling a couple of tickets.
No, you're probably right about that, but it's just how soon until you get frustrated? I think it was what it's going to come down to.
Well, I think so.
And I'm not even talking about from a fan standpoint. I'm talking about internal standpoint.
I do want to point out that Aaron Rodgers signing with the Minnesota Vikings, as we all know, would follow this weird Brett Favre script. I completely forgot about this. I don't know if you guys remembered, but Mike Florio wrote an article earlier today reminiscing about Brett Favre and how he joined the Vikings. I didn't even remember that Favre retired again after the Jets moved on.
Oh, yeah.
See, you remember that?
Yeah, we killed him for retiring, unretiring, retiring, unretiring.
So he retired again, and then he didn't sign up.
He retired because the Jets said we're good riddance?
I think he was kind of saying good riddance to Jets, right?
I mean, the Jets were blowing it up. I mean, they were firing everybody. Yeah. Remember, fired.
He himself knew it was a one-year proposition.
He was also really injured at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So the Jets had obviously moved on. They hired Rex Ryan. They drafted Mark Sanchez. Brett Favre didn't sign with the Vikings until July and show up until August 18th.
Wow.
And obviously it didn't hurt the Vikings. They got all the way to the NFC Championship game. I think maybe I was so engrossed in the Jets and Giants and we had moved on from Brett Favre that I completely forgot how late it took for him to actually sign with Minnesota. So if Rodgers is trying to follow the Favre script, I got some news for you.
Got time.
It's going to take some time.
He's got a long time.
And I mentioned this at the top of the show.
Who was the quarterback that year?
So there was a competition. It's a great trivia question. Let's see if Sean remembers.
I do.
The two quarterbacks competing for the job before Favre took it.
They traded and thought they had something in Sage Rosenfels.
Sage Rosenfels.
I don't remember the other one.
Tavarius Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Those were the two guys. Now, it is a little bit different with J.J. McCarthy, because the reality with J.J. McCarthy is they used a first-round pick on him, and he hasn't played yet.
No.
Like, I know there's a lot of strong opinions about him, but he hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
We don't know what he is.
Did they make a signing?
What do you mean?
No, they just have J.J. and Brett Rippin?
Yes. They're going to sign a veteran quarterback, just not on the level of Aaron Rodgers. So maybe Joe Flacco ends up there. Right. He seems to make a lot of sense.
Which is my point. eventually these veterans will sign if you don't sign one and you sit around waiting for Rodgers.
Yes.
But I think the Vikings have just fully moved off of it.
Well, it sounds like they're moving off of it until there's a reason to be concerned about McCarthy, whether it's his rehab or him struggling in the spring. And their attitude is, if Aaron Rodgers is there, great. And if he's not there, that's fine. We've already moved on.
Yeah, I get the sense that Aaron is basically saying, I'm not in the mood to make a decision right now. Bother me when this matters type of thing.
Aaron Rodgers, you mean?
Yes, 100%.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers realizes he doesn't have to make a decision.
No, because he can just retire.
Yes, which I've said since the beginning. I mean, I still think he does.
You might be right.
Well, if he doesn't like the situation, he could retire. See, here's what he could do if he really wants to follow the Favre script. He could retire right now and say, you know what? I'm out. I don't intend on playing. And then reevaluate come July based on injuries or the way situations change. Because if he's not signing with the Giants and Steelers today, obviously it shows that's not his first choice.
Yeah.
There's a trepidation, whether it's retiring or going to Minnesota. So you can almost fugazi retire, wait this thing out, and then depending on what things look like in July or August, completely change your mind and come back.
Yeah, the only challenge would be a lot of teams will just already have their quarterback rooms filled. Now, you can move on from those guys easily. It is what it is, but he's got to be okay with maybe not having a shot and just having to retire.
Well, that may happen.
Right.
Or in training camp, Brock Purdy may get hurt, and the Niners may say, screw it, let's go get Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Come on. No, he's not Jimmy Garoppolo. He's signed with the Rams. Yeah.
Oh, Rams.
The Niners signed somebody we forgot. Who knew team who did?
Yeah, we'll be doing that in August. New team who this?
I'm forgetting now. They did sign a backup. I can't think of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to Google that. Maybe
Jones.
One of them can Google
Mac Jones. Exactly.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's go to John in Shelton, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, boys. Tiki, you are 100% right with Jameis Winston. I've been saying this since halfway through last year. The Giants have had, nothing to root for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Bring in somebody who's exciting and bring in somebody who can get the ball downfield to the electric receivers we have, Wandale Robinson. I mean, the only thing limiting neighbors last year was we didn't have someone who can consistently get him the ball. He's so electric, and watching, watching the quarterback be late on reads or just miss throws is so frustrating. Like, get this guy the ball. I'll deal with the interceptions. I'll deal with the mishap. We'll have fun. We'll have a fun year. We'll be in position to be there next year, maybe with a different quarterback or a young quarterback.
Right.
But bring in Jameis, man. Come on. You nailed it.
I think Jameis is one of those guys. He's the classic gunslinger, right? That old school mentality. Because you got to remember, back in the day, I don't mean like my era, but like before my era, throwing the ball downfield was truly a crapshoot.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best quarterbacks of that two generations ago have ridiculous career interception numbers. It was a modern invention to be perfect throwing the football. And so I think the analytics of the game have changed how possessions are valued. And so throwing interceptions is a humongous no-no. But he's so like 1980, right, the way he just doesn't care. Whether, the decisions that he's making, he thinks he's making the right one every time. So it's entertaining, but it's also very frustrating.
Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Hello, everybody.
What's up?
Hello, Ozzy.
Nothing much. Hearing those two bicker like two little toddlers is my zen. I'm so glad you're all back together.
Well, enjoy it for one day because now Tommy's taking vacation.
Yeah, that's all right. The killer bees on the other side of the glass. Butterbean and Bud Bundy. Going at it.
Yeah, Sean, you missed that. And this is actually a good one that I think even Tommy acknowledges. Bud Bundy and Tommy Lou Gow are very similar. They look alike. They have similar personalities. Ozzy identified that. I even showed the pictures that he put together to Teak. I think it's spot-on analysis. Right.
And who is Bud Bundy?
Married with children.
You don't know Bud Bundy?
The kid.
Oh, Al Bundy.
Al Bundy's son, Bud Bundy.
As he grew up, there's a resemblance to one time.
Can you watch Married with Children tonight, just one episode?
Yeah, I got all the time in the world, no problem.
Good. I mean, what are you doing? You're just on vacation for a half.
It's my first full day back to life.
What episode should he watch? Is there a specific episode, Oz, you think Sean should watch that would give him the full Bud Bundy treatment or no?
It's got to be one of the later seasons.
That's when he was the Grandmaster.
Yeah, I think you'd go on YouTube and you'd do Grandmaster B highlights or whatever.
Just do that. You don't have to watch the episode. Go to YouTube, Grandmaster B highlights, and you'll crack up because you're going to be like, holy crap.
This is Loogie.
That's Loogie. All right, what else, Oz?
Before I get to Sean, another dog naming fun fact. True story. Hey, Tiki.
What up?
My 6-year-old Golden is named Millie as well.
Oh, nice. I don't know how Millie got her name. My Millie.
Yeah, my daughter had naming rights, so that's how.
Dog.
I think Tegan also had gig naming rights. That's why that was that way.
Yeah. But Sean gave up on the blue skirts again, just like when he gets sick again. But let me remind you, on Friday, January 17th, after the blue skirts got back from a three-game West Coast trip where they won 2 out of 3, I asked Sean, I said, does this mean you're going to stick to your word and the Knicks and the blue skirt bet is on? And he said yes. So let's not forget that he stuck to that bet.
He not only stuck to that bet, Ozzy, I have a document where I write down things that maybe we should cut so we have the audio of. Like, for example, me saying the Giants will fire everybody after this season. I have that ready to go. On February 25th, Sean Morash declared the New York Rangers will win the Stanley Cup.
I did.
So we certainly have that one. Wow.
I had guts, unlike them.
And we certainly have you and your bet with Tommy, which I guess you're conceding. That bet, for those that aren't aware, and this is the second year in a row, is the loser, like the team between the Rangers and Knicks that doesn't go as far as the other, will have to dress up as the trophy of
the winner.
The winner. So if the Knicks go further than the Rangers, which feels like a lock right now, Sean would have to dress up as the Larry O'Brien trophy. So you are conceding this.
I might as well ride it out. You did say of all the teams bunched up, analytics tell you you still have the best chance of those teams.
Yeah, they have a chance to make the playoffs.
I think they're dead in the water, but I might as well ride. Why would I concede, then they go further, and then I still lose? That would make no sense for me. So I'm going to ride this out to the full 82, but I'm fully acknowledging that my head is going to look like the ball inside the Larry O'Brien. There is a ball inside that trophy. Yeah.
Not sure.
The Rangers are very, very good.
When did I say that?
That was probably edited.
Probably. By the way, since I'm on the document of us making predictions, this one's fun. I don't know if I should even pull it, so I'll just describe it to you. August 19th. Okay.
Wait, year?
This past year. Okay. August 19th, 2024, we were predicting the starting quarterback for the following season, 2025, which is still something we don't have the answer to, right? Here are the predictions. Tiki Barber said Daniel Jones.
Yep.
So that's an L. Evan Roberts said Dak Prescott.
Oh,
that's an L. Sean Morash said Henson Hooker or Hendon Hooker.
Henson.
Yeah, it auto-corrected on my document. As I said that, I'm like, it's Hendon.
Hendon's not a name that your document, what is that, Apple? The Apple product.
Yeah. Wait, it's auto-correcting it again. All right, Hendon Hooker. So 0 for 3. Tommy's alive, though, because Tommy Lukauer's prediction, which
let me guess. Thomas, Aloysius,
Calogero,
Jefferson,
Loogie,
Lugauer,
Vinny,
DeVito!
You could meet Tariq. I'd argue I'm more alive than Tommy.
He's the only quarterback on the roster.
It's Hendon Hooker.
Did you just listen to what happened? It auto-corrected it again. Hendon Hooker. Is going to be the Giants quarterback in 2025?
Do not be surprised if there is a scenario.
Where is he now?
He's still the Lions backup. Young backup upset. Just hear me out. We get in a scenario where Ward and Sanders do go 1-2. Would it shock anybody if the Giants drafted the best player and with their second or third round were able to flip it for a player like that?
By the way, that kind of draft day trade? I'm looking at, and this one is worth cutting, we redid this in December. So towards the end of the season, did the same thing for both the Giants and the Jets, okay? Two of us have a legitimate shot, and the two I'm talking about are Tiki Barber and Sean Morash. Tiki Barber predicted that the starting quarterback for the Jets this December would be Tyrod Taylor. Sean's prediction was Justin Fields.
Get out of here.
Tommy had Aaron Rodgers take an L, and I had Jameis Winston.
Wow. The Jets suck.
Yeah, we're going to have to go look at this in a little bit.
I got to tell you, if Justin Fields is a starting quarterback, you might be L-exempt for a couple of weeks of the football season.
Okay. I'll take some L-exempt.
That's a big win from December
on. I know.
You'll need it during football season, by the way.
He definitely will. Here we are on the final day of winter. Believe it or not, we are 12 hours away from spring finally starting. Did you know that, Tiki? 5 a.m. tomorrow.
I did not.
5 a.m. tomorrow, we finally have arrived at spring.
I thought you were just talking about spring training.
No!
Dude, spring training's been going on for over a month now.
I know, but it's coming to an end. So the end of spring training means baseball's actually...
So why is it called spring training?
Yeah, it should be winter training.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's right about that.
Because they're
that.
Training for spring.
I think that's what it is. Or they're going to the weather that feels like spring. Really, it's the weather that feels like summer. But yeah, spring is finally ending, or beginning, I should say, tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. And I don't know why. That means something to me. Like, there's something about tomorrow waking up and knowing it's the first day of spring. That brings a smile to my face.
What's the weather going to be?
Colder tomorrow than it was today.
Oh, lovely.
Because my sons were even asking me that. Like, oh, first day of spring, is it going to be nice? I was like, I don't know. It's probably going to be the same thing as it was today. Today it got into the low 60s, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm,
and tomorrow, it's I think the high is only like 52 or 53. And now is the perfect time, because I've already started doing it, to start analyzing the weather for opening day. Because we are a week away from that Yankees home opener at 3 o'clock a week from today against the Milwaukee Brewers. So would you like to hear a seven-day forecast for opening day? Well, yes. You're going to hear it anyway.
Raining?
No rain.
Excellent. Okay. That's all you care about.
Partly sunny, a high of 52. That's not bad.
That's not good, though.
I mean, it's not good.
It's cold.
You got to remember, too, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, 52, soon is going to be heading to, like, 40.
No, 3 o'clock's the, like, think about it. 3 o'clock is actually the warmest part of a day.
I know, but by the time the game is over at 5:30, it's going to be 44 degrees.
No.
Because the fans will be in the shadows, Ev, the moment we get in the shadows.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the shadows are a problem.
Yeah.
Like, these are the days where you want to be baking in the sun because it gives you a few extra degrees. But the truth is, it's opening day of baseball. Like, does it really matter?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's cold.
But here's the hypocrisy of you and you, Sean.
Uh-huh.
You guys love going to football games. This would be considered a balmy day if it was a football game.
Yeah, but I don't know.
So then what's the difference?
There's something about baseball. When you get dressed for a baseball game, you just kind of want to be light and wearing short sleeves and
I don't want to wear
chilling.
Pants.
Exactly.
It's a pantsless sport.
Whereas football, it's like you just know you're going bundled. You got a hoodie. You got a scarf sometimes, jacket. Like, you just know it's going to, it potentially could be cold.
That is all mental, though.
It is so mental, you're right. But I don't know. There's something about going to a baseball game. I need it to be warm.
See, for opening day, I think differently than you. One opening day that jumps out at me was back in 1998. The Mets played the Phillies. They won the game 1-0, mm-hmm. And it was 80 degrees. It was the first ever Met game played in the month of March.
Wow.
And it was 80 degrees. And I didn't like it. Because to me, I was like, this is an opening day. Opening day is not supposed to be summer-like weather. It's supposed to be crisp. There's supposed to be that chill in the air. And I can promise you this, Sean, because I'm still back and forth on if I'm going to join you. If you recall, last year on opening day, I didn't actually go to the game. I went early, and I got ice cream with you. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do remember.
And then I left. Yep. I ate my ice cream. I said hi to people, and I left the building, and I came here, and I watched opening day with Tiki, and then we came on the air after. Obviously, it's a little different this year because the game's later, so we're not on after the game. We're actually on before the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I am thinking about going to Yankee Stadium early to get my ice cream because that's a part of the tradition of opening day.
When's it open?
Well, the game's at 3:10. I think the gates open 2.5 hours before first pitch, something like
you
that.
Can make it.
Especially opening day. And, you know, listen, if you don't go because the weather's too cold, some might call you Mr. Softy.
I wouldn't be going because the weather's too cold. I wouldn't be going because I just decided not to go. The question is, are you going?
I'm going.
Boots on the ground for opening day?
What happened?
I want boots on the ground for opening day.
Big game, Bob. I will be in the building.
That means you will
It might be the most relevant Yankee game of the year.
You will be on the air for a brief 25-minute show live from Yankee Stadium.
You're that down on the Yankees?
I'm recouping, though. I had 5 days to recharge my batteries. I think the team's going to stink, but I can't say that now. So let's worry about them stinking in August.
Well, you can think it, but opening day is about optimism.
Right.
It's about you never know.
And Ben Rice might be the AL MVP this year. I've turned my hands out.
That could happen. By the way, the other thing about baseball is shoving food down your throat. And I was reading because Aramark was promoting some of the new food items all around different stadiums. And there were a few that jumped out at me. And you got to tell me if you would have this.
Okay.
Because I'm very mixed about this one. This is in Philadelphia. And I'm thinking we may have to make a trip just to see what this tastes like. I'm a big quesadilla guy. And I also like s'mores.
Dang,
s'mores.
Quesadillas.
Would you have a s'mores quesadilla? Nutella, mini marshmallows, a graham cracker crumble in a crisp flour tortilla served with chocolate dipping sauce.
Yes. Yes.
So it's the quesadilla that throws me off because it's really just a dessert?
Yes.
Picture
it's a crepe.
Yeah, I was going to say, picture a crepe. That's what you get.
That's not bad then. I think I could go for it. I think the s'mores in front of the quesadillas kind of throws me off.
I feel like 2024, 2025 is starting to be the year of the Nutella, too. It's getting a real boom out there.
It's making it like a return?
What's, I mean, that thing's been around.
Because it's always been around. Yeah.
I'm not saying it hasn't been around, but I feel like people are almost overexposing it.
Oh, they're leaning into it.
Yes.
Like, instead of like peanut butter, they're going Nutella.
Yeah, like, remember whatever it was, like 2016 when everybody was into sriracha? Like, that's what's happening with Nutella.
It's the new kale.
Interesting. That's not kale. How could you compare it to kale?
Well, kale was very popular.
Yeah, but wasn't kale only popular because it was, like, really, really healthy?
Yeah.
Nutella's not healthy.
Oh, I understand that, but I'm saying kale was... What are you laughing at? You should try some kale once in a while.
I have.
Kale was very... Tiki knows this. Kale was very hip, and now Nutella is.
Yeah, but I don't think Nutella's as healthy as kale.
No, that's why, I said that. I was like, that doesn't make sense. Would you eat the Daddy Mac Dog? Foot-long Angus beef frank, chopped brisket, macaroni and cheese, barbecue sauce, and a pickle.
Yeah, I feel like having a heart attack.
Well, the better question is, how long's the drive home?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like the mac and cheese on top of the dog and the brisket is just way too much. I don't know if I can handle that.
The dog? Hot dog?
Yes.
Yeah, that's too much.
Because to me, the hot
that's
dog...
too much meat.
The hot dog, yeah, it's way too much meat. I can only...
You can never, ever.
Never have too much meat.
All right, here are some of the ones coming to Citi Field. Tell me if you'd eat any of this. This is local, so this is easier, because that Daddy Mac Dog is in Houston. And I don't know if you're planning on going to Houston for any baseball games. The Queen's Quencher. Oh, this is a drink. Oh, this looks good. Raya vodka, fruitful blue raspberry, lemonade, and a garnish of lemon and blueberries. Mm. What's up? Oh, that's my... I like that drink.
That actually sounds good.
That's appealing to me.
Very sweet, though, with the blue raspberry.
Depends on how much raspberry you put in.
I'm big
on the right pound, of right level of sweetness. That's delicious.
That's a tiki drink.
Yeah.
Okay. First game at Citi Field. I'm getting you the Queen's Quencher, the Fiesta Burger.
No, I'm having a martini at the Cadillac Club.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So the Queen's Quencher, the second time you come to Citi Field?
Yeah, I'll probably still be at the Cadillac Club.
Well, what happens when I take you in my seats? Are you going to leave me to go to the Cadillac Club?
I'll watch first pitch, and then I'll go down to the Cadillac Club.
He knows the secret knock.
I'm telling you right now, you guys are going to get a lot more opportunities because I went to four tickets this year.
Uh-huh.
I didn't mess around.
Nice.
So I'm at four tickets. So, yeah, there'll be days in which I'm trying to sell them. But I'll tell you, that first Monday of the year against the Marlins, actually, we have a weird decision to make.
If it's a nice day, I'll pregame in the Cadillac Club, and then I'll come join you.
Well, you can't pregame too much because we have to leave from the show to go to the game. First Monday of the season, I only have two tickets available because I'm already taking Hoffman. So which of you two want to go see Mets Marlins on a Monday night?
Loogie can go.
I think he's like, I'm out. Are you coming with us, Sean, or no?
Me and Pete sit next to each other. It's a lot of spillage over the arm hangs. Mm. I don't know.
What do you mean spillage over the arm hangs?
I need to, you know, sit next to somebody a little thinner.
I got great news for
you.
I got great news for you. My tickets this year are very interesting. Yeah, I think you may like this.
Okay.
They're two, an aisle, and then two.
You give me an aisle seat, I'm in.
There are my season tickets now have two aisle seats.
Oh,
how good is that?
That's actually a great
thought. Isn't that smart?
Because most people would say, let me have all four together.
No!
In the same row.
Yeah, right!
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, there were two reasons why we did this. Number one...
How the hell did you get...
I asked for availability. Yeah. I was like, I want to expand to four. Let me know if these become available. But the four in a row weren't available. But even if they were, here's why this is better. And it has nothing to do with Sean and feeling, you know, blubber over the seat.
Yep.
It's not even just having two aisle seats. Tiki will understand this. Sean will understand this too, actually, with two daughters. It's keeping our kids separated.
Yeah.
They want to fight each other.
Oh. Yes. You guys want to sit together? Great. As soon as they start fighting, come sit with me. You're sitting next to your mother.
And they're separated by an entire aisle.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do.
And here's why it works so well for our show, because I will invite you guys to many Met games this season. You two, Sean and Loogie, fight like my son. So we may have to keep you guys separated.
Shut up!
No, you shut up!
No, you shut up!
When was that?
So the real question is, did I get the four tickets split by an aisle for Jet and Spence, or did I get them for all these games I plan on taking you guys to?
Shut up!
No, you shut up!
Juan Soto is a Met, so this does work out in that way.
So here's the real question. Since that means me and Tiki have to be separated, who sits next to Tiki and who sits next to me when we're at these games?
I think that's obvious, but yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
It's, I mean, we've already made this declaration in Philadelphia. It's me and Tiki sticking to you and Tommy.
I don't think so.
Sean would be... He came with me to the suite.
Yeah, we're the go-to-games together guys in the fancy seats. You guys are the...
Yeah. They're the same seats! There's no fancy seats!
Yeah, but... Like,
they're four tickets!
But for instance, when Tiki has a secret knock to the Cadillac Club in the fourth inning, I'm coming with.
That's a different story. Tommy's going to go with two, by the way. I'll be sitting there by myself. I'll be me with a lot of leg room. That's for damn sure. I bet when we're all sitting... You know what? The more I think about this, the more I'm like... I'm going to invite you guys to games, and you're all going to ditch me every single time.
Yes. Yes.
Basically, totally. I'm going to have three Rico listeners sitting next to me. They're going to move their way down after you guys leave. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, none of these foods excite me that much. Because you know what the reality is? When I go to a baseball game, I want to pack my own sandwich. Right.
God. How do you even get it in the ballpark?
They
just let you bring it in.
They do. No, in baseball, they absolutely let you. In basketball and the other venues, they're much more careful about what they allow in.
Right.
But for baseball, they'll let you bring it in.
I did the speed of sandwich. I did see the Yankees list because they had their whole drop today. I can't believe one of the Yankees' big sells today was, here's our pastrami sandwich. It's 2025. You're just introducing the pastrami.
You know what, though? The Mets just introduced theirs a few years ago, and I remember talking about that
on
the
air. It's New York!
I know, but there's nothing wrong with them finally instituting it. And you know what's funny that you said that, Sean? I'm glad they're instituting the pastrami sandwich because I don't like eating much at Citi Field. And it's nothing against the food. It's the idea of, I want something convenient. Like, a lot of these foods are complicated. I'm scoring the damn game.
Yeah.
A pastrami sandwich is one of the most basic things in the world. And it's awesome. And it tastes good. And they give you so much meat that it feels like the $17 you drop for the sandwich is completely worth it. Mm. So if the Yankees are going to do that, except I think that's fantastic.
Except for in your gut.
Well.
Your guts doesn't think it's worth it.
I know. That's the problem. The other problem is I made a kind of a fiblet earlier today. I just posted it on social media, but I tried to do the Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson yoga pose with Sean Morash. And unfortunately, it went very bad for me, and Tommy fat shamed me. And then I talked about how I struggled so much that it made me realize I need to start eating better and getting in shape.
I saw a belly.
I am a week, so it's not a lot. I am a week into doing a lot more when it comes to eating and not noshing at night and even putting some exercise in. So for me then, to go just shove my face with, you know,
pastrami
and hot dogs that are loaded with, you know, the macaroni and cheese and brisket. I mean, it would basically be like I did all the hard work and I threw it away.
I see. The problem is you can't go to a ballpark hungry.
I know you can't.
You just can't. Even if you just have like a, I don't know, what are those things called? The Crustables?
The Uncrustables.
Right, the Uncrustable, mac, whatever, peanut butter and jelly thing. Have that before you walk into the ballpark.
God bless that mindset. Here's the problem. I could go there after Thanksgiving dinner. The moment you smell the smells in the ballpark, it triggers something.
Nah,
it's like an animal instinct.
It's a great point. And there's something about baseball ballparks compared to every other sports venue. It doesn't do the same thing. Like, I went to Barclays Center the other night after we all went out to dinner.
Yeah.
Went to a nice restaurant. And I walked in and I smelled stuff, but I was like, it's not moving me. When you walk into Yankee Stadium or Citi Field, the smell moves you.
It moves everything in you. The hell with who's batting third. Do they have steak fries? Do they have cut fries? I go nuts.
So when you think about that, you know you're going to opening day next Thursday.
Of course
not. Because that's half the battle is you shoving the food down your throat.
Hold on.
He's fat!
And you need the ice cream.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's on tap.
Got the ice cream. That's what I miss so much about baseball. That feeling when you get the chocolate in your mouth.
And you hold it on the lip of the helmet and the sprinkles glide ever so down your tongue.
It's going to be 46 degrees outside. You guys are having ice cream.
Doesn't matter.
Oh. There won't be a long line for it. It's freezing.
Same thing last year.
Yeah, there was not a line last year.
Last year when we went, because you remember you made fun of what I was wearing, Sean. I was wearing that big heavy jet sweatshirt that had a stain on it already.
And then Nets winter hat.
What was that?
And then Nets winter hat.
And a Nets winter hat. And there was no line because it was cold. It's always pretty much cold on opening day. And I'll tell you, I had no regrets, man.
You know what? I'm going to do the Mr. Softy pregame. And you know what I'm doing around the seventh inning? I'm getting one of those shakes. And I'm putting all that milky ice cream down my mouth and having it all for opening day, celebrating this season.
You're going ice cream and then you're going shake later?
Do they have Judge and Stanton in the lineup when they're healthy?
No.
Stanton's not playing.
That was a bad one.
That was a terrible comparison.